Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. My, oh my, oh my. Social media has decided that seed oils are public enemy number one. Why? That's an excellent question, and so I took it upon myself to try and get to the bottom of this purported health menace. Was this the selective use research to create fear among consumers with the ultimate purpose of gaining notoriety? After all, this appeared to begin on social media platforms of all types a couple of years ago. Or is this a hidden danger to the health of the nation? Could it be both? What kinds of oils are we talking about here? The three most popular appear to be soybean, canola, also called rapeseed, and peanut oil. If you've ever deep-fried a turkey, peanut oil is the oil of choice because it sustains a relatively high heat of 350 degrees for an hour or more. After that, it's corn, safflower, sunflower, cottonseed, grapeseed, and rice bran oils. But the type of seed oil varies whether we're asking about home consumption, restaurant use, or food manufacturing. That sort of muddles things a bit when it comes to exactly how much are we actually getting. What is the purpose of oils such as seed oils in food prep? More than likely, it's to provide a source for cooking meats and vegetables at high heat. Now, the issue with some of the seed oils that contain polyunsaturated fatty acids is that depending on the types of fatty acids, they may become rancid when stored for a long time. Now, rancid means the oil or the food containing the oil has been chemically modified either by oxidation or hydrolysis. That leaves the oil or food smelling old and stale. It's not unsafe, just very unappealing. If you're using one of the oils for salad dressing or cooking, use immediately and then store in the refrigerator. Let's get to the heart of the problem. The knock on polyunsaturated fatty acids is that they can have a negative impact on health. Now, we've known about this for 20 years that we've had polyunsaturated fatty acids imbalance in our diet. But let's clarify exactly what we're talking about so we're all talking about the same thing. Polyunsaturated fatty acids are essential fatty acids, which means we can't make them. We must get them in our diet. The primary polyunsaturated fatty acids are omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. Both are critical to cell membrane structure and function, as well as many other important functions in the body. The problem is that we consume them out of balance. What? Well, we're supposed to get an equal amount of omega-3s and 6s. For the cooking and manufacturing reasons I mentioned earlier, omega-6 intake has grown at a higher rate in American society, while omega-3s have actually decreased as the meat we typically eat, especially beef, no longer contain them, and we don't eat enough cold water fish. The ratio is supposed to be 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 omega-6s to omega-3s. The westernized diet has upped that ratio to as high as 16-to-1 omega-6s to omega-3s. The seed oils themselves are not inherently dangerous. The focus has been on the chemical changes the oils can undergo when they are used to fry foods. There seems to be an increase in aldehyde production, not a good thing. But looking at the research, it's not clear that aldehydes in reasonable quantities are dangerous. Also, in the few studies that have been done, the focus has been on used oils used for frying foods. Well, the logical question is, why not examine the food itself to get a better idea of what a person actually eats to get the actual quantity and amount of aldehydes produced? How many aldehydes are in the food? No one I know has ever said, "Let's go to the fast food restaurant and drink the discarded oil." Have you? The reason the aldehydes don't pose a great risk is that there are enzymes called aldehyde dehydrogenases that can neutralize the aldehydes for elimination from the body. They do their job to maintain a low level of aldehydes in the body, converting them into chemicals that can be easily excreted. Excess aldehydes appear to be associated with cancer and other degenerative diseases. The oils can also become oxidized, which may also increase the risk of irritating the bowel. But in both cases, which is true for other negative effects on the body, it is the volume of such oils consumed that is the issue. I have yet to hear any health and nutrition experts say, hey, open season on fried foods, go and eat as many of them as you want, because we have these healthier oils to cook them in, go for it. It's as ridiculous as it sounded when I just said it. A couple more points that are not mentioned in the anti-seed oil rants. Some of the seed oils contain phytonutrients. Carotenoids are found in sunflower and canola oils. Polyphenols are found in sunflower, canola, grapeseed, safflower, and even peanut oil. And finally, when it comes to the oils that are actually used in cooking, especially frying, canola, peanut, and palm oil do not have more than 30% polyunsaturated fatty acids in them. It's confusing as to why the hazard of seed oils has gained so much traction. Could it be misinterpretation of research? One of these so-called experts suggests that seed oil consumption has increased as the rise in type 2 diabetes increased a few years later. It's a compelling graph to view. The problem is that correlation doesn't equal cause and effect. On top of that, I could draw that exact same graph but use carbohydrate consumption instead and come up with the exact same result. You want something more simple? The caloric consumption has increased in the same time frame. Still not there? If you look at the increase in sedentary time, not exercise, in sedentary time over the same time period, you got it. The same correlation exists. So which is it? And yes, the increase in diagnosable cardiovascular disease increases at the same time, parallel to the type 2 diabetes. Now, that same expert suggests that the average American gets 80% of their fat calories from seed oils. 80%? In that the average caloric intake, men and women average together, is roughly 2,100 calories a day. That means that 1,680 calories would have to come from seed oils. That means 187 grams of fat per day just from seed oils. Does that even make any sense? Even if people consume mostly ultra-processed foods and eat fried foods every day, it just doesn't make sense without checking any research. And when you do check the research from a variety of sources, you get a total fat intake, not just seed oil, total fat intake from all types of fat of between 47 to 58%. Does that even come close to 80% just from seed oils? Nope, that's not the problem. The problem is that the standard American diet may contain 14 to 25 times more omega-6 fatty acids than omega-3 fatty acids. The majority of those omega-6s, well, they come from seed oils. That's back to where I began. It's not the seed oils or the carbohydrate or the fat consumption. It is the overconsumption of a nutrient that leads to problems. If you've seen one of the media posts, be it written or a video, just go on by, unless you are a big consumer of ultra-processed foods or fast foods. There is no issue using sunflower oil in salad dressing or that microgram that might be in a supplement that you're taking to stabilize a nutrient. Seed oils are not bad. And that's it for this episode. Until next time. This is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.